final rule is out on the phased retirement for federal employees. The Office of Personnel Management says people can start submitting their applications for phased retirement on November 6th, but not everyone can qualify. Tammy Flanagan is Senior Benefits Director for the National Institute of Transition Planning. She was on hand when OPM announced the details on the final rule yesterday morning, and she joins us now to talk about it. Hi there, Tammy.
Hey, Jared. How are you?
I'm doing well, thanks. So I guess my main sort of overarching question here is how many questions about the program did OPM, resolve once and for all with the final rule, and how much did they sort of punt to agencies?
Well, that's the big question, I think, is how are the agencies really going to receive this idea? Because the rules were kind of laid out in the original legislation. OPM has really refined them and really answered some of the questions we had about how it's going to be implemented. But the proof is going to be in how the agencies accept an employee's application. Will they embrace that and say, wow, this is great, we get to keep this employee a few more years working 20 hours a week? Or are they going to say, well, we can't backfill the position, so therefore we're not so inclined to let them work 20 hours a week? So that's going to be the interesting part of this to me.
And I think key, too, is that OPM really emphasized that, you know, unlike regular vanilla retirement, you have no entitlement to phased retirement. You and your agency have to come to an agreement that it makes sense for both parties. So one of my colleagues here at the station was kind of musing that this might end up looking an awful lot like federal telework programs, where, yeah, there is technically an overarching government-wide policy, but you've got some agencies who use it really liberally and some agencies who barely use it at all.
Yeah, I tend to agree with that. I think that might be exactly what we see. And then there's also that group of employees who are prohibited by law by doing it. So there's going to be a lot of employees who are going to be disappointed that they want to do it, but because of their position, they won't be able to, which includes mandatory retirement eligible employees, law enforcement, firefighters, air traffic controllers. That whole group is excluded from doing a phased retirement.
Are those people going to be surprised by that? I think that was kind of in law all along, so they probably weren't expecting anything from this program.
I'm not sure. I got an email this morning because I'm doing a law enforcement seminar coming up this month, and he said, are you going to cover phased retirement?
Mm.
And I said, well, I could. I said, but it's not going to help your employees because they won't be able to do it. So, I think they may have forgotten that after 2 years of the law having been passed.
Right. Anybody else that's explicitly ineligible? I guess we could say it easier by describing who is eligible under the final rule.
Yeah, because the two other big groups of ineligible would be people who are already working part-time, because you have to have been full-time for the immediate 3 years prior to going into phased retirement. So those employees who are already part-time would be excluded. And also employees who have less than 20 years of service. And under normal retirement rules, people can retire at 62 with 5 years, but the law specifically excluded that group. So it's only going to be employees who are 60 with 20 years or 55 or the minimum retirement age under FERS with 30 years. So that's a very limited group of employees.
Mm-hmm. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think one of the things that needs to happen between now and November or whenever applications start getting processed is some final negotiations with unions. I don't know how formal those negotiations are, but what are sort of the contours of the stuff that they're going to be working through?
Yeah, I guess it's going to be to figure out that these are still employees and they still have rights as federal employees, and how are those rights going to be extended since they are working part-time? Will they be subject to adverse action and RIF situations and all of that? And I think the other big thing that has to happen between now and November is, very specifically, OPM has put the responsibility for written guidelines to the agency. So the agencies really have to think about identifying which positions will be offered, what are the criteria they're going to use to approve or deny a request from an employee who wants to do this. What is mentoring? The employees who do this have to do 20% of their time spent on mentoring, which is a very broad definition. And I guess another big thing is going to be the time limit. The law doesn't set a limit. So if I wanted to work in phased retirement for the next 30 years, I could, unless my agency tells me I can't. So that has to be spelled out in writing as well.
Would you expect them to put a limit on that? I'm trying to think through what the adverse impacts would be for an agency if they, if somebody decided they're one of those people that wants to work at least half time for the rest of their lives.
Yeah, you know how people say that, you know, working in something you enjoy doing is not like working at all. I could do that forever. And so you'd never get rid of them. So you'd have to possibly set a limit if that was a concern to the agency, that you may have employees who linger on phased retirement for 20 or 30 years, which I could see happening, actually. It will be interesting.
Sorry, yeah. Let's swing back to mentorship for a minute, because that's kind of the whole point of this entire program. You mentioned that they would need to spend 20% of their time on mentoring. How much clarity did they give to what mentoring means? I know you said it's kind of vague.
Yeah, and that's kind of how OPM has put it out so far as well. They're really leaving it up to the agencies to define what that's going to look like. And something I heard recently was, like, there are 28 different definitions in the government of what mentoring really is. The only thing we know is that the employees will have to somehow define 4 hours a week, because if they're working 20 hours a week, 4 of those hours would have to be spent on those types of duties. You know, whether that's training the next group of employees who are going to take your place, or doing other activities that might be in terms of getting ready for your succession, I guess some type of succession planning for the employee who's leaving eventually. But if you're going to do that for 20 years, that's a lot of mentoring.
Oh, yeah.
So it will be very interesting. I think from what I've seen in my seminars, employees are very excited about this. In fact, I've met many employees who have delayed retirement waiting for this to come out. So I think it's big news for the employees' point of view. The agency's got a lot of work to do between now and November 6th to figure out how to implement it within their own agency.
And I'm certain that one of the questions that you're, or the group of questions that you're going to get a lot in your seminars over the next few months, is how this affects federal benefits like health insurance, like TSP, even Social Security payments, I guess. What did OPM tell us about how all that works under phased retirement?
Well, these are still going to be employees. Even though you're retired part-time and you're employed part-time, you're going to be treated for the most part still as an employee, which means your health insurance and life insurance will be based on your full salary, not the part-time rate, and you'll be entitled to the full government share of the contribution deducted from your paycheck, not your retirement check. As far as survivor benefit elections, most employees who are married when they retire take a 10% reduction from their retirement for their spousal benefit. That election is delayed until you're fully retired. So that's a savings right there off of the retirement check that's delayed until the person goes into full retirement. So someone working as a phased employee or a phased retiree, if they were to die prior to fully retiring, it would be treated as a death in service. And lastly, for TSP purposes, you can still contribute to the thrift, because once you're fully retired, you wouldn't be able to. So these are all things I think that employees are going to like about this new option.
And then on the TSP, I assume you can still start withdrawing at any time. That's still completely up to you.
Well, I think you're going to have to be fully retired. Mm. So if you're in the phased retirement period, you're still technically an employee, and employees cannot withdraw, although you can borrow from your TSP account. So I don't know that the final details of that, the TSP hasn't posted those yet on their website, but I'm sure they're shortly to follow. And the other issue, as you mentioned, was Social Security. And I've been scouring the Social Security website, and I don't think they've quite addressed this yet, especially for civil service employees who might be over 66 and eligible to start receiving Social Security from other work that they've done while they're in phased retirement. There's a lot of issues with Social Security that I have questions about, haven't yet found the answers to them.
So on the TSP issue, if you can't start making any withdrawals until you're fully retired, that's a pretty good incentive not to stay in phased retirement for the rest of your life, because then your TSP is not worth much to you.
Well, but there is one benefit to the TSP that's available for employees who are still working past age 59 and a half, and that allows them to do a one-time in-service withdrawal, and they could just take the money that's in their TSP account, move it to an IRA,
uh-huh,
and then make use of it. So, yeah, you can get around. There's a workaround that one. So it'll be interesting to see once employees move into this kind of limbo period, kind of easing into retirement, how much they embrace it and want to continue doing it. But I think that decision about the limitation will have to be decided at the time they enter that type of arrangement.
Gotcha. And one other thing that caught my eye was, whatever your new schedule is once you enter phased retirement really is your new schedule. So in other words, if it's, 20 hours a week, if you work 21, that additional hour is overtime.
That's right. Yeah, it's really a strict part-time schedule. So It'll be a regular tour of duty, so you'll have your hours that you have to work. If you want to do flex time, that will be allowed, but it's still going to be limited to that 20 hours a week type schedule.
All right. Finally, anything else that surprised you about the final rule or any other big questions that were left unanswered by it?
Well, the one thing that really did surprise me is the date for the rollout. It's going to be November 6th, and if agencies get this up and running by then, that's right in time for the end of the year retirement rush. And like I said, I think there's a lot of employees who this is going to be all the stars aligning properly because they might want to retire the end of the year. They might want to go into phased retirement at the same time. So hopefully OPM is gearing up for an end of the year retirement rush.